I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Last Word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So, do you own a dog? And if you do, where did you get it? Did you get it from an animal rescue shelter, or did you buy it from one of these breeding establishments which we call puppy farms, or did you get it from a third party, somebody who you knew who had access to a puppy that you might want to buy? Whatever the case, it looks like there's going to be a major change as to how puppy breeding is run in the country. We're joined by the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Martin Hayden. Good evening to you, Minister.
Good evening, Matt, and good evening to your listeners.
Before we get to what's in the proposed legislation, what is the situation at present? Do we know, for example, how many puppy farms that we have in the country at present, and are they regulated?
They are, but they're not regulated to the extent that I believe they should be. And we don't have as much information on them as we'd like. So this new legislation that I got approval for at Cabinet this morning will involve all dog breeding establishments needing to be to register, and us to compile and hold a national register. So people who are looking to purchase a puppy will be able to see exactly that it is a registered establishment and is under all of the provisions. And if somebody obviously is advertising the sale of dogs, then that's something that both my officials and authorised officers and those in the dog wardens in our local authorities would also be able to do on-the-spot checks to make sure that anybody advertising a puppy for sale is a registered dog breeding establishment. We estimate we have in between 200 and 250 dog breeding establishments as of now. This legislation will greatly transform, you know, the welfare measures there. It is bringing in a lifetime limit of 4 litters per breeding dog, which can be extended to 6 at most with veterinary approval, written approval. But it's also limiting to 1 litter per year. And that cap is really important to prevent overbreeding, but also to protect the best interests and the health and the welfare of the breeding dog. And also introducing new minimum breeding age limits. So for female dogs under the age of 12 months cannot be bred from, or over 8 years of age. That new maximum breeding age limit as well. So amazingly, in the current legislation, there is no provision or reference to inbreeding. So it's really important that we put an explicit ban in legislation on inbreeding. And if a dog has had 2 cesarean sections, that will limit the maximum amount of breeding that can happen from them.
None of this is in existing legislation. Is it a bit of a free-for-all?
Well, the 2010 legislation doesn't have a reference to inbreeding. So maybe it was inferred or presumed that people wouldn't do it either by accident or deliberately. But, you know, it is something that we absolutely need to call out.
But even beyond that, is it the case that are you fearful that there are establishments where dogs are forced to have more than 1 litter a year, where they're consistently breeding beyond 4 litters in a lifetime?
There are some instances of that, absolutely. And the other thing that this bill will look, that I'm looking to do, is to ban the sales by third parties. So a lot of the people you reference at the start and listen to your programme today may well have acquired their much-loved family pet off somebody in a public car park, not at the breeding establishment where that puppy was born.
And done so in good faith and fairness in many cases.
Yeah, absolutely. And but they won't have known or seen the breeding establishment where that puppy was born, and they won't know how long the puppy was with its mother for. So this legislation is very significant in terms of the socialisation for the pup, that when the puppy is 6 months or less, it has to be purchased from the establishment in which it was bred, and the biological mother needs to be there with it. So the person buying the pup has to be able to see that the mother is still there, because when you have third parties, you can't be sure that the puppy wasn't taken away from its mother at a much earlier stage. And yes, I do have concern, and there is anecdotal evidence that some dogs are being overbred and that there are acquiring more than one litter per year. This can be a lucrative business. So from that perspective, these controls are really, really important, as are the stronger enforcement and penalties for those that are found to be doing things wrong. So, you know...
Well, sorry, Minister, just a couple of things on that. And I'm sure there's lots of people who love dogs listening to this and who would be appalled at the idea of them being mistreated. But just take, for example, if you have a breeding bitch who has had the four litters, might be 5 or 6 years old, will there be any provisions as to how they would be cared for? Because you would be fearful there might be unscrupulous owners who might decide, well, if that dog can't produce more litters, that it would be put down.
Yeah, so there is a transition period here provided for in the bill. And it's important to say, Matt, what I got approval for today was something that's in line with a commitment in the programme for government to enhance dog control legislation. It didn't all come under my department previously. We transferred and got those powers over last year, and I've been working on this ambition since. But what it's very much designed towards is that we will now bring the full detailed legislation before the Oireachtas, and it will go through committee stage where all members of the Oireachtas will get to tease through this. It will go through the stages of the Dáil and the Seanad. So some of these provisions are open to amendment and to be voted upon and to go through. But it is my intention that we would have, let's say, on the new staffing limits, which is a mandatory staffing ratio of one worker per 20 breeding dogs. That would be a new measure in this bill. It will be a 2-year transition period to bring that into place.
But also, if there are 200 to 250 establishments at present, how big are some of these? How many dogs would be in each particular establishment?
So they're not uniform. And it's important to say that if you have a dog or two that you breed from and you're just doing that yourself, you don't come under needing to register as a dog breeding establishment.
Why not?
My provision would be, you don't want a person who has two dogs who's just breeding for that to come into this. A dog breeding establishment is a business.
Surely even if it's somebody with a couple of dogs, you wouldn't want them having more than four litters in the lifetime of the dog. You wouldn't want them having more than once a year. That would it not be good to make sure that they also followed the best health guidelines for their dogs?
Yes, and what we have is the guidelines in that space. But in terms of the enforcement on dog breeding establishments, which are businesses that are doing this and are doing this on scale, because obviously there is money to be made from it, it is to make sure that those who are chasing that profit aren't operating on this level of scale. So if you have six breeding dogs or less, it's my intention you won't come under dog breeding establishments, because the dog breeding establishment is that. It's a business and it's been held to this higher level of, and that's where the levels of staffing, you know, if you have a couple of breeding dogs yourself, that's something you'll be doing yourself. You won't have staff as such. But to answer your question, there are some quite large dog breeding establishments. And if those large dog breeding establishments have in certain instances been selling on to third parties, this legislation will ban that activity, because we don't know in that space how young was the pup taken from its mother, for the mother to maybe be put back in pup. So that's why the four litters maximum in the lifetime, as well as the one litter per year, are really important provisions. But so is the socialisation, that the pup has the start to life that you would expect it to have, and its habitation with its mother in those first few crucial months for any mammal is really, really important. And we want that for
indeed.
Her.
But what about the condition of the kennels? Is this something as well that there would be minimum restrictions or requirements there as to space, for example, in which dogs of different sizes would be allowed to congregate? Because unfortunately, we have seen photographs of times of pretty atrocious conditions in which dogs and pups may be kept.
Yes, and what we're determined to have here is our dogs bred in clean, safe environments that are right and appropriate for its standing. So there won't be one size fits all in terms of how many dogs you have in an establishment, but all of these establishments will be on the national register and meeting the improved transparency. The consumer will be buying them in that premises. So you won't be able to buy the dogs outside of where it's been bred, and the purchaser of the new pup has to be able to see the biological mother there present also as well. So this opens up something that, as I say, we've had plenty of people in good faith have bought that pup off somebody away from where the dog has been bred. So this really is, as well as the National Register and the much stronger enforcement and penalties that I'm enhancing the powers of our authorised officers and those of the local authorities, increasing the penalties, the €250,000 fines for very serious breaches and imprisonment where people are found to be in breach of this. But it really is adding a layer of transparency that will give great comfort to consumers.
Yeah, but will you have enough people going doing the monitoring? Are you going to have a team of people across local authorities or out of the department who will regularly visit these establishments, make surprise visits to make sure that things have been done properly?
Absolutely. So we have staff already in terms of our dog warden system throughout our local authorities, and they will have enhanced powers. But I also have...
Do we have enough of them? Aren't they seriously understaffed?
But we also have authorised officers in my Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. We have responsibility for animal welfare. But also think of this, Matt. You know, we are now going to have a national register where a dog breeding establishment has to be registered on that national register. If somebody is advertising on some website, pups for sale, you know, there will be on the spot checks. Authorised officers will be following up on some of those. And if they are found to be sold and not to be a dog breeding establishment, well, then they'll be open to all of the much stricter penalties and enforcement. So it really is adding a great level of transparency to a system that has been operating in the shade up until now.
If that's the way it's going to be done, what about the exports of dogs? Because it has been suggested that vast numbers are actually being exported for sale in Britain and elsewhere. Will this new law, when it comes into force, when you get the legislation finished, will that ban overseas sales?
No, it won't, but it would curtail the amount of pups that a breeding dog can produce. It will curtail how much a dog breeding establishment can produce in a given year. Because, as you know, there will be a restriction on the amount of litters from the breeding dog in its lifetime and limited to one per year. And that will have that impact there. So, you know, the large scale production of pups, whether for export or for anywhere else, you know, it is not illegal for somebody to, you know, bring their dog abroad or to do that. But it's the mass production of it that I was deeply uneasy about.
And what about greyhounds?
Greyhounds are covered under the greyhound legislation, so that's separate to this. So this legislation doesn't cover that. It doesn't cover charities.
So why does it not cover greyhounds? Because there's a lot of concern amongst animal welfare charities as to the conditions in which greyhounds are born and then also in which they are exported for sale.
So there is the Welfare of Greyhounds Act 2011, I think it is, and that comes under Rassia Conheron, and there's a significant proportion of funding that Rassia Conheron spend on greyhound welfare every year, and they are the semi-state body with responsibility for that. So there's a number of areas here that aren't covered under this bill because it is focused on the dog breeding establishments, the likes of your Labrador or your whatever that people are buying. But, you know, so this doesn't cover charities. It doesn't cover boarding kennels either. It is for those places that are breeding, for many respects, family pets, if you like. And just on the point of charities, it is really important to say here, we have many great reputable animal shelters and charities. So for people who are concerned now that this will mean less pups available for sale, you know, we haven't had enough people going into our animal shelters and charities looking to adopt animals. And when I visit those charities, they have beautiful dogs that are looking for good homes for. You know, I think we really want people to consider that as a very clear option here for the dogs that have been abandoned or that have been falling on hard times to find a safe home for them too.
Thank you very much, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Martin Hayden.
The Last Word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.